Chapter 9. Ruth Ray's apartment appalled Jason Taverner with its luxury. It must cost her, he reasoned, at least $400 a day. Bob Goman must be in good financial shape, he decided. Or anyhow was. You didn't have to buy that fifth of Vat 69, Ruth said as she took his coat, carrying it and her own to a self-opening closet. I have Cuddy's Ark and Hiram Walker's bourbon. She had learned a great deal since he had last slept with her. It was true. Emptied, he lay naked on the blankets of the waterbed, rubbing a broken-out spot at the rim of his nose. Ruth Ray, or rather Mrs. Ruth Goman now, sat on the carpeted floor, smoking a Pall Mall. Neither of them had spoken for some time. The room had become quiet. And, he thought, as drained as I am. Isn't there some principle of thermodynamics, he thought, that says heat can't be destroyed, it can only be transferred? But there's also entropy. I feel the weight of entropy on me now, he decided. I have discharged myself into a vacuum, and I will never get back what I have given out. I goes only one way. Yes, he thought. I'm sure that is one of the fundamental laws of thermodynamics. Do you have an encyclopedia machine? He asked the woman. Hell no. Worry appeared on her prune-like face. Prune-like? He withdrew the image. It did not seem fair. Her weathered face, he decided. That was more like it. What are you thinking? He asked her.
No. You tell me what you're thinking, Ruth said. What's on that big alpha consciousness type super secret brain of yours?
Do you remember a girl named Monica Buff? Jason asked.
Remember her? Monica Buff was my sister-in-law for 6 years. In all that time, she never washed her hair once. Tangled, messy, dark brown ooze of dog fur hanging around her pasty face and dirty short neck.
I didn't realize you disliked her.
Jason, she used to steal. If you left your purse around, she'd rip you off. Not just the paper script, but all the coins as well. She had the brain of a magpie and the voice of a crow when she talked, which thank God wasn't often. Do you know that chick used to go 6 or 7, sometimes, one time in particular, 8 days without saying a word? Just huddled up in a corner like a fractured spider strumming on that $5 guitar she owned and never learned the chords for. Okay, she did look pretty in an unkempt, messy sort of way. I'll concede that. If you like gross tale.
How'd she stay alive? Jason asked. He had known Monica Buff only briefly, and by way of Ruth. But during that time, he and she had had a short, mind-blowing affair.
Shoplifting, Ruth Ray said. She had that big wicker bag she got in Baja, California. She used to stuff stuff into that and then go cruising out of the store big as life.
Why didn't she get caught?
She did. They fined her, and her brother came up with the bread, so there she was again, out on the street, strolling along barefoot, I mean it, down Shrewsbury Avenue in Boston, tweaking all the peaches in the grocery store produce sections. She used to spend 10 hours a day in what she called shopping. Glaring at him, Ruth said, "You know what she did that she never got caught at?" Ruth lowered her voice. She used to feed escaped students.
And they never busted her for that.
Feeding or sheltering an escaped student meant 2 years in an FLC. The first time. The second time, the sentence was 5 years. No, they never busted her. If she thought a Paul team was about to run a spot check, she'd quickly phone Paul Central and say a man was trying to break into her house. and then she'd maneuver the student outside and then lock him out. And the Poles would come, and there he'd be, beating on the door exactly as she said. So they'd cart him off and leave her free. Ruth chuckled. I heard her make one of those phone calls to Paul Central once. The way she told it, the man... Jason said, Monica was my old lady for 3 weeks. 5 years ago, roughly. Did you ever see her wash her hair during that time? No, he admitted. And she didn't wear underpants, Ruth said. Why would a good-looking man like you want to have an affair with a dirty, stringy, mangy freak like Monica Buff? You couldn't have been able to take her anywhere. She smelled. She never bathed. Hebephrenia, Jason said. Yes, Ruth nodded. That was the diagnosis. I don't know if you know this, but finally she just wandered off during one of her shopping trips and never came back. We never saw her again. By now she's probably dead, still clutching that wicker shopping bag she got in Baja. That was the big moment in her life, that trip to Mexico. She bathed for the occasion, and I fixed up her hair, after I washed it half a dozen times. What did you ever see in her? How could you stand her? Jason said, I liked her sense of humor. It's unfair, he thought, comparing Ruth with a 19-year-old girl, or even with Monica Buff. But the comparison remained there in his mind, making it impossible for him to feel attraction toward Ruth Ray, as good, as experienced anyhow, as she was in bed. I am using her, he thought, as Kathy used me, as McNulty used Kathy. McNulty, isn't there a microtrans on me somewhere? Rapidly, Jason Taverner grabbed up his clothing, swiftly carried it to the bathroom. There, seated on the edge of the tub, he began to inspect each article. It took him half an hour, but he did at last locate it, small as it was. He flushed it down the toilet. Shaken, he made his way back into the bedroom. So they know where I am after all, he realized. I can't stay here after all. And I've jeopardized Ruth Ray's life for nothing. Wait, he said aloud. Yes, Ruth said, leaning wearily against the wall of the bathroom, arms folded under her breasts. Microtransmitters, Jason said slowly, only give approximate locations. Unless something actually tracks back to them locked on their signal. Until then, he could not be sure. After all, McNulty had been waiting in Kathy's apartment. But had McNulty come there in response to the microtransmitter, or because he knew that Kathy lived there? Befuddled by too much anxiety, sex, and scotch, he could not remember. He sat on the tub edge, rubbing his forehead, straining to think, to recall exactly what had been said when he and Kathy entered her room to find McNulty waiting for them. Ed, he thought. They said that Ed planted the microtrans on me. So it did locate me. But, still, maybe it only told them the general area. And they assumed correctly that it would be Kathy's pad. To Ruth Ray, he said, his voice breaking, God damn it. I hope I haven't got the Poles oinking their asses after you. That would be too much. Too goddamn much. He shook his head, trying to clear it. Do you have any coffee that's super hot? I'll go punch the stove console. Ruth Ray skittered barefoot, wearing only a box bangle, from the bathroom into the kitchen. A moment later, she returned with a big plastic mug of coffee marked Keep On Truckin'. He accepted it, drank down the steaming coffee. I can't stay, he said, any longer. And anyhow, you're too old.
She stared at him, ludicrously, like a warped, stomped doll. And then she ran off into the kitchen. Why did I say that? He asked himself. The pressure. My fears. He started after her. In the kitchen doorway, Ruth appeared, holding up a stoneware platter marked Souvenir of Knott's Berry Farm. She ran blindly at him and brought it down on his head, her mouth twisting like newborn things just now alive. At that last instant, he managed to lift his left elbow and take the blow there. The stoneware platter broke into three jagged pieces, and down his elbow, blood spurted. He gazed at the blood, the shattered pieces of platter on the carpet, then at her. "I'm sorry," she said, whispering it faintly, barely forming the words. The newborn snakes twisted continually in apology. Jason said, "I'm sorry." "I'll put a Band-Aid on it." She started for the bathroom. "No," he said, "I'm leaving. It's a clean cut. It won't get infected."
"Why did you say that to me?"
Ruth said hoarsely. "Because," he said, "of my own fears of age. Because they're wearing me down, what's left of me. I virtually have no energy left. Even for an orgasm."
"You did really well."
"But it was the last," he said. He made his way into the bathroom. There he washed the blood from his arm, kept cold water flowing on the gash until coagulation began. 5 minutes, 50, he could not tell. He merely stood there, holding his elbow under the faucet. Ruth Ray had gone God knew where. "Probably to Nark to the Poles," he said wearily to himself. He was too exhausted to care. "Hell," he thought. "After what I said to her, I wouldn't blame her."